the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
On Sunday morning, the Lord Jesus Christ started his journey toward Jerusalem. And before he starts his journey to Jerusalem,
the Lord Jesus Christ sent two of his disciples ahead of him to a nearby village in order to get him a colt to use it in his journey toward Jerusalem. As we read in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19, as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." And I'm sure the two disciples must have wondered about what Jesus told them, because the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry never used any animal to get from one place to another. All the time he walked hundreds of miles to and down the land of Jerusalem, but it was never mentioned about him that he was riding an animal. Sometimes he used the boat. And I'm sure the disciples wondered about this command. And I want you to know, what does this represent? Why the Lord asked the disciples to get him a colt to enter Jerusalem? Riding a colt into a city was a public declaration that he was a king. This was the custom. When you enter a city riding a colt, this is a public declaration that this person is the king. In the times of war, the conqueror king would ride upon a horse. But in time of peace, the king would ride on a colt to symbolize that peace prevailed. So the Lord Jesus Christ used a colt, not a horse, in order to indicate that he is the king of peace. And with his entry to Jerusalem, the era, a new era of peace will start. Peace between man and God. Peace between man and others. Peace between man and himself. But how would the people respond to that? Maybe some people received him with laughter. Maybe they laughed at him. How this carpenter, the son of carpenter, who came from a poor family, imagining himself as a king, and entering the city as a king. I am sure some people said about him, he is out of his mind. He is living in a world of fantasy, imagining himself to be a king. Other people may greeted him with anger, upset that because they may interpret his entry into Jerusalem on a cult as a king as arrogance and blasphemy against God. And like the scribes and the Pharisees, they were angry and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to stop the children from crying and shouting. And the Lord responded and told them, if these children stop, the stones will shout. But the majority received him with joy, welcoming him as their king, not as a heavenly king, but as an earthly king. And that's why they shouted and said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, son of David, this is the king of Israel. And when they called him son of David, because in their mind, he will bring back to them the kingdom of their father David. And that's why they said, this is the king of Israel. This is the king of Israel. And I am sure they were suffering from the Roman Empire. And that's why they were looking for a king to fight the Roman Empire and to deliver them from the this occupation of the Romans. Among the crowd, there were hundreds of people who were healed by him. And I'm sure they received him with joy, admiration, and appreciation for what he did. Maybe Lazarus was one of them, the daughter of Jairus, maybe Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus the blind. All these people received him with love, joy, and appreciation. And I'm sure some words spread that Jesus, who raised Lazarus from the death, is coming to the feast, because this was the feast of Passover. And as you know, on the previous day, on Saturday, Jesus raised Lazarus from the death. And that's why in the Gospel of St. John, he connected the two events by saying, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. When he said the next day, so he's referring to another event. What was the other event? This event was the resurrection of Lazarus. And a great multitude came from everywhere in order to see this person who was able to raise a person from death after 4 days in the tomb. And I'm sure many people came just out of curiosity to see this king or to see this person who raised Lazarus from the death. Others may perceive him as a Messiah. Others may be coming to ask him to raise their beloved ones who departed and left the world. So there was excitement all over the city. And the Lord Jesus Christ was looking at the multitude, and he saw some of them who really loved him from his heart, some of them looking at him with threatening faces and threatening eyes, wishing that he may just make one mistake in order to arrest him, kill him, and get rid of him. And also, he found the Romans, who were fearing that a revolt may happen because of this, and watching for any sign of rebellion against Rome. And among the multitude, we will find the 12 disciples. And the 12 disciples reacted differently to this event. Judas Iscariot, maybe he was happy because now when Jesus becomes the king of Israel, he will have authority and he will have financial power. And Judas, as a treasurer, he will put his hand on more money. So maybe during this procession, he was thinking about his place in this future kingdom. Maybe St. Peter was putting his hand on his sword in order to protect the Lord from any attack or from any from the envy of the scribes and Pharisees or from the Roman soldiers. Maybe St. Thomas, as usual, he was skeptical about everything that was going on, wondering what will happen the next. Maybe Andrew, who used to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ one by one or in groups, maybe he was looking here and there in order to introduce some new groups to the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, that's what he did, as you're going to hear tonight in the Paschal prayer, that Andrew and Philip brought some Greeks and introduced them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe James and John, they were happy because finally their desire to sit one on his right and one on his next in his kingdom will be fulfilled. Now the Lord Jesus Christ entering into Jerusalem as a king, and they asked him and they took their mother to intercede on their behalf to the Lord Jesus Christ, that once his kingdom is established, a person sits on his right and another on his left, James and John. But suddenly, among all this excitement and all these different people, people who love him, people who are threatening him, people who are envying him, people who are expecting certain things from his kingdom, suddenly they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ to see his expression, how his face was. And I'm sure everybody was expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to be happy, cheerful, smiling, because everybody is shouting and crying, Hosanna in the highest, this is the King of Israel. But unfortunately, this was not the case. As Saint Luke recorded to us in his gospel, now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. So, in this procession, while the Lord Jesus Christ is approaching the city, instead of being cheerful, smiling, happy, the disciples and the multitude looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, at his face, and they found him crying. There are tears on his face. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ used to get emotional several times when he saw the multitude as flock without a shepherd, when he saw the daughter, the widow of Nain with her son in the casket. He also had compassion, but they didn't see him crying except one time. at the tomb of Lazarus. And this was the second time to see the Lord Jesus Christ crying. And actually, this was two consecutive days. On Saturday, he cried and wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And on the next day, the Lord Jesus Christ wept when he saw the city of Jerusalem. And I'm sure the disciples were surprised why the Lord Jesus Christ was crying. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he wept over Jerusalem, he said to Jerusalem, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." These words explain to us why the Lord Jesus Christ was weeping when he saw the city of Jerusalem. He realized the emptiness of the life of Jerusalem. And they had not heard the message of peace. They did not understand the purpose of his coming. That's why he told them, "If you had known even, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace." They did not understand or comprehend the message of peace and why he came to our world and why he was incarnate and became man. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Peace, came to our land in order to reconcile us with God the Father, in order to give us the peace that surpasses every understanding, in order to deliver us not from the Roman Empire, but from the slavery of Satan and the bondage of sin and the enmity of death. The Lord Jesus Christ came in order to bestow upon us this heavenly peace and to become our heavenly King. But they did not perceive him as a heavenly King. They wanted him as an earthly King. And that's why he told them, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day," why he said in this your day? Because this is the day which the Lord has made. This is the day which the Lord enters into Jerusalem as our Savior and as our heavenly King in order to reign over us, not as an earthly King, but as a heavenly King. To reign not on an earthly throne, but on the wood of the cross. To reign in our hearts, not in the palace of Jerusalem. But unfortunately, they did not understand his message. They did not understand and realize the depth of his message. And they did not know what is their peace. They did not understand the message of peace. And because of that, the Lord said to Jerusalem, that your house shall be desolate. لَهُمْ بَيْتُكُمْ يُتْرَكْ لَكُمْ خَرَابًا. Because they did not accept him as the Messiah, they did not accept him as the heavenly King. 4 days later, when he told them, "My kingdom is not of this world," the same group of people cried and said, "Crucify him, crucify him. So the Lord foresaw what will happen to Jerusalem. He looked at this high temple, the beautiful temple, and he saw the destruction of this temple at the hands of Titus in the year 70. That's why he looked at Jerusalem and told her, "For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And actually, this prophecy was fulfilled literally. Even when he told them, they will not leave in you one stone upon another, this prophecy was fulfilled literally. Because when Titus put fire in the temple, all the gold in the temple was melted and was mixed with the stones. So the Roman soldiers, in order to get this gold, they have to break the stone and split the stones from each other in order to get the gold. And thus, this word was fulfilled literally. They did not leave in the temple one stone upon another. And this was also the same reason why the Lord Jesus Christ wept at the tomb of Lazarus. The people perceived that he was weeping and crying because he loved Lazarus. I don't think this was the reason. Yes, the Lord loved Lazarus, but the Lord also foreknew that he will raise Lazarus from the death, and Lazarus will live again. So why would he cry? He did not cry because he loved Lazarus. He cried because he saw the humanity delivered to death through their disobedience to God. God created us to live eternally. God created us to be immortal like him. But because of our disobedience, because we did not understand what is for our peace, because we believed the serpent more than God, when the serpent told us, "If you eat from this fruit, you will be like him, you will be like God," we believed the deception of the serpent, and we disobeyed God. And thus, we became dead, and we became mortal. That's why the Lord cried at the tomb of Lazarus. The same way he cried at the city of Jerusalem, because he saw the death around the city of Jerusalem, and how their refusal and their rejection to receive him as their savior, as the Messiah, as the heavenly king, will bring death to them. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ cried. They had eyes, but they did not see. They had ears, but they did not hear. They missed the whole point of the message that God have given them. Even when they waved palm branches, this showed that they don't understand, because that's exactly what the people did when the Maccabees overthrew the Syrian oppressors and reestablished the worship in the temple. You read this in the book of Maccabees. They received them with palm branches. So by waving palm branches, they were showing that they expected Jesus to be another conqueror, another general of the armies, one who leads them to overthrow the Romans. They did not receive him to to be their heavenly king. And the Lord was telling them, I did not come for that purpose. I came to show you a more excellent way. I came to show you the way of love, the way to heaven. And that's why the Pauline epistle of today speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, who consecrated a way to us toward heaven. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. He did not come as an earthly king, but he came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. He did not come to an earthly tabernacle, an earthly temple, but more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that's not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So St. Paul is making comparison between his entry into Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, and his entry to the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's why the church chose this part from the epistle to Hebrews, in order to compare in our minds between his entry into the heavenly Jerusalem and his entry into the earthly Jerusalem on Hosanna Sunday. And I think the question today, or the message to all of us today, if the Lord will look upon all of us today who came to celebrate his entry to Jerusalem, and we are holding in our hands the palm branches, and we are chanting and saying, Hosanna in the highest, this is the King of Israel, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I am sure he will find some of us who love him from his heart, some of us who perceive him as a king to reign over our hearts. But the main point and the main question, the Lord is questioning us, do we know the depths of his message? Do we know why he came? And what do we expect from him? What are our expectations from our Lord Jesus Christ? To deliver us from some earthly problems, earthly sufferings, earthly issues, or to bestow upon us his heavenly peace and to prepare for us a place in heaven? Are we like Judas, looking for financial power and the Lord giving us more financial power here on earth? Are we like Peter, who are concerned about the earthly kingdom, carrying our swords to defend ourselves and our ego? Are we like James and John, looking for earthly position in here on earth, looking for a certain place, looking for a certain career, and that all what we are hoping from the Lord? I am sure this will not please the heart of the Lord. If that is all our expectation from him, if that is how we perceive him, just we are asking for earthly things. The Lord wants us to set our minds on things above, not on things below. The Lord wants us to set our minds not on earthly Jerusalem, but on the heavenly Jerusalem. The Lord wants us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is how we receive him in this day, Hosanna Sunday. That's how we should receive him as our king, our heavenly king, and he will give us the heavenly inheritance. And the Lord is saying to each one of us, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. Do we know what are the things that are made for our peace? The Lord concluded his message to Jerusalem by saying, because you did not know the time of your visitation. There is a time of visitation in which God visits us. Do we know the time of visitation? Do we know when the Lord knocks on our hearts, waiting for us to open our hearts and to receive him as a heavenly king? Do we know this time, the time of visitation? The time of visitation may be a message like today when you are in the church and listening to the message of the Holy Gospel. The time of visitation may be a call from a Sunday school servant or from Abuna to ask about you and invite you to return to the Lord. A time of visitation may come through a spiritual book that you read and invite you to change your life and to be transformed. A time of visitation can be through the nature, as the Lord Jesus cried, as God in the Old Testament spoke to Jonah through storm, through wind, through worm, through a little tree, through the whale. So there is a time of visitation, and the Lord is standing and knocking on the doors of our heart. But those who do not know the time of their visitation will not have a place with the Lord Jesus Christ, a place with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly Jerusalem. So when he turns and looks into our lives, I wonder, will he weep once again because of what he sees in our hearts? Or will we have the joy that passes all understanding as we respond to his message? Will he cry when he sees sin dwells in our hearts instead of him? Will he cry when he sees that Satan and the desires of the world and the lusts of the flesh dwell in our hearts instead of him? Or he will find his place is ready to receive him, and the Lord will point to my heart and say, this is my place forever. I will stay here. I will reign here forever. So I hope that when the Lord looks at our hearts, he may say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So the Lord came in order to bring joy and to bring peace. And we cannot enjoy this peace and this happiness unless if we receive him as our King, as our Savior, and as our Lord. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.